begin with prayer. O Spirit of the living God, come to this place and to these people, that we may know the truths found in your word, and that our faith may grow. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. What if you had the chance to possess the entire world, to have it as your own possession? What do you think it would take to make this happen? So just think about it. Did the word meekness come into your mind? And yet the Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Do you want to inherit the earth? Do you want to have the whole thing as your own? It can happen. It will happen for those who are meek. So are you one of them? Do you even know what the word meek means? Imagine that. That the Bible tells us that the meek will inherit the earth, and we don't take the time to find out what that is, meekness. So let's take time this morning. We look in a dictionary of the world, and it says, number one, humbly patient or docile, as under provocation from others. Number two, overly submissive or compliant, spiritless, tame. And then the third, obsolete, meaning gentle or kind. Well, if you take all of these definitions together, they seem to equate meekness with weakness. That is the attitude of the world toward this idea. But I put it to you that it takes great strength to be meek, especially if you have the power to fight back. Meekness is not weakness. Would you say, for instance, that Jesus was weak? Of course not. But Jesus himself says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." To be true, Jesus made himself weak in order to live a human life on this earth. However, time and time again, he demonstrated great strength. He made storms suddenly come to a stop. He walked on water. He healed people. He raised some people from the dead. So even in his state of humiliation, he did have untold power at his disposal. When his enemies came to arrest him, with a simple word, he caused the whole detachment of soldiers to fall over backwards on the ground. And yet, he allowed them to arrest him, to put him on trial, to torment him, to convict him, to crucify him. And he did so without either complaining or striking back. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He allowed this to happen, even if he could have stopped it, because this was the only way in which he could pay for the sins of the world. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God if there was some other way. But there was not. So he quietly, patiently, and humbly accepted the humiliation, the pain, the shame, the hellish agony, and the death. And this without complaint. He did it because he looked to the end result, the joy of seeing millions of people enter into heaven. So as it says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, thinking nothing of the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What strength of character, what strength of commitment, what strength of love, what strength of confidence. Confidence that is in the Father's promises. What strength it must have taken him for him to resist the temptation to call upon all this divine power that was at his disposal and strike down his enemies. Now that is meekness. So here it is. Meekness. The strength of character that allows the Christian to accept suffering from the hands of God or of men, and to do it without complaining and without striking back. The easy thing to do when you're being persecuted is to look for some way to get back at the person who's persecuting you, or to complain about your suffering. Now, in order to have that kind of an attitude, you have to have some reason for it. And the reason is Christ himself. He is the one who asks of us that we should turn the other cheek. What is to be gained by striking back except antagonizing the other person? And then, when you want to do what God wants you to do, preach the gospel to that person, is he going to listen to you? But on the other hand, if you accept suffering for Christ's sake, and then you have the opportunity to bring the gospel to that person, he's going to listen, he's going to take you seriously, because he knows that you are willing to suffer for the sake of this Jesus that you're preaching about. Peter wrote about what we should do in the midst of persecution. When we're in the midst of our persecutors, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, and that's referring to your persecutors, who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Proclaim the reason for your hope bravely, and be prepared to accept whatever comes, to accept it patiently and without complaint. One thing to remember is that when you're complaining, you're actually complaining against God, because it is God who allows these things to happen, and at times even causes them to happen. Remember also the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We pray. Lord Jesus, you were willing to suffer for our sakes. Help us to be willing to suffer for your sake. And when our suffering comes, give us a spirit of meekness to bear the burden without complaint or bitterness. Grant this for your own name's sake. Amen. Hymn 396, verses 1 and 2.